Mary some things about her upcoming baby. The angel said, "He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." So Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. He is the Son of God. The second one, the promised Messiah will be a descendant of King David. In the Old Testament, Psalm 132 verse 11 says, "The Lord swore an oath to David with a promise he will never take back. I will place one of your descendants on your throne." This is a promise that continued right up to Jesus. In the New Testament, Acts 13 verse 23, the apostles say of Jesus, "It is one of King David's descendants, Jesus, who is God's promised Savior of Israel." Also, Romans 1 verse 3 says of Jesus that he was descended from David according to the flesh, born into King David's family line. So Jesus fulfilled this prophecy. Jesus is a descendant of David, of King David. The third one, a virgin giving birth. Some 700 years before Jesus' birth, God gave this message through the prophet Isaiah, recorded in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. God said, "He will rescue his people with the sign, and the sign will be, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." The promised Messiah's biological mom at the baby's birth will still be a virgin because this pregnancy will be from God. So then, in the New Testament, Matthew 1 verse 18 says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And in verse 25, it says that Mary and Joseph did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy. His mother Mary was still a virgin at his birth because this pregnancy was given through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wild? Like, just some of these, this is, you can't manufacture this. It's just wild how so long ago this was said about the promised Messiah. And here comes Jesus, and he's just fulfilling it. Number four, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. So Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says, "You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." So this passage says that the promised Messiah will come from Bethlehem, will be born in Bethlehem. Then in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 to 7, it says, "Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." Jesus fulfills this prophecy. He was born in Bethlehem. Number five, the killing of baby boys in the town of Bethlehem. On its own, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15 is hard to understand. It says, "A cry of anguish is heard in Ramah, weeping and mourning unrestrained. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead." Rachel is one of the ancient mothers of Israel. She will be weeping because her children were killed. And this passage is explained in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 to 18, some 1,500 years after Rachel. Herod fulfilled this prophecy. This passage says Herod was furious when he learned that the wise men had outwitted him. So he sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, because the wise men had told him the star first appeared to them about 2 years earlier. So Herod's hatred for Jesus led to this brutal killing of baby boys under 2 years old, and therein fulfilled the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15. Israel's mother, Rachel, represented by all the mothers of these murdered little boys, they could not be comforted. Number six, the Messiah will be called out of Egypt. This prophecy can be confusing. In Hosea chapter 1, verse 1, God says, "I called my son out of Egypt." The context of this passage points to the son being the nation of Israel. But in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 15, the son in the Old Testament Hosea passage is identified as Jesus. This passage says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up and flee to Egypt with the child and his mother," the angel said. "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to try to kill the child." So that night Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I called my son out of Egypt." So as a baby, Jesus lived in Egypt until the threat on his life was gone, and then God called the family to leave Egypt. So Jesus fulfilled this prophecy, being called out of Egypt. Number seven, the Messiah will be a humble king. In the Old Testament, in Zechariah 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So Jerusalem's victorious king is coming, and he's riding on a donkey, not some amazing fast war horse. Now, fast forward to the New Testament. In Matthew 21, verse 6 to 9, Jesus is entering the city of Jerusalem, and it says, "The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" With crowds shouting joyfully, Jesus entered Jerusalem as the expected king, the Son of David, riding a donkey. Jesus fulfilled this Old Testament prophecy of the humble, victorious king coming. And the last one, the promised Messiah will be the sacrifice for sin. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 to 6, it says that the coming Savior, it says of the coming Savior, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." This sinless Savior will take on himself the punishment of saviors. And then in the New Testament, Romans chapter 3, verse 25 to 26 says, "For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. He declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus." And 1 John 2, verse 2 says of Jesus, "He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the world." Jesus fulfilled this Old Testament prophecy of the coming Savior who saves people from their sin. So these are just eight of the many, many prophecies Jesus could not have chosen to fulfill, but he did fulfill because they were all pointing to him. Just one of these prophecies taken by themselves is not enough to convince us that Jesus is the promised Messiah. But taken together, the many, many prophecies he fulfilled, we arrive at the conclusion that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the Savior, the Rescuer sent by God. God is a promise keeper. His holiness and his love for people guarantee that what he said he would do, he will do. He promised to send the Messiah, and he did it. He sent Jesus Christ. God has done great things and is doing great things and will always continue to do great things. All of us can attest to that. And it's so worth our effort to take time as a church family and bring glory to him and encourage each other by sharing what God has done and by expressing our hope in him for things that come up in our life. So let's do that, okay? Let's do that right now. Let's share what God has done and share what we are hoping God will do. I just want you to stand there or wave your arm. I'll come to you with this mic and then share your request or your praise item or what you're hoping for. All right, get up the courage right now. Do some heavy breathing there. But remember, this is about bragging about God. This isn't about bragging about yourself. Oh, this is what I did this year. We don't want to hear about that, okay? We want to hear about bragging about God and what you're trusting in the Lord for this year. We all have something. Jacob, I'm going to come to you first, okay? I got you in sight. Something that just dawned on me. We all have something that we share, and we sometimes save it, and we really need to just let it out what God has done and just let everybody know, just show them, let them know what's going on. A little illustration for me is that for Christmas I actually got some exciting funky socks. I always have plain old brown or black socks. Now I have funky socks on right now, a pair of red ones with stars on them. I should show you those, but that's a little bit of bragging about myself. But we all have something that we have these stories in our hearts that God has done, and we need to let each other know about them. We need to show each other our socks. Does that make sense? Yes, it does. It's stretching it, so just bear with me, okay? All right, so Jacob's going to start us off.
So, giving thanks for Benjamin Charles Dorn was born on at 6:30 on Wednesday night, and why this gives, I just want to give glory to God because every prayer, everything we requested, every detail as the baby's coming and you know mom's anticipating giving birth and after Gabriel and Kathleen, all of these things that happened during the last time's delivery and things with the families, we kept bringing them to the Lord and everything, every detail, every request was answered and God doesn't have to do that. He can say, yeah, but I mean, look at your life. I don't need to answer your prayers. And he didn't. He answered every one of them. And Zoe's at home resting with the natural cramps of everything shrinking and getting back down to normal with a healthy little baby boy. And we are just so grateful to God.
Amen. Anyone in this section? We'll warm up. Here we go, Luis.
I just praise God that over the last year, he's helped the doctors to keep Jill healthier. And my prayer for the coming year is that he will find a part-time job for Jill and a place of her own because she needs those things so badly.
Thanks, Louise. Yeah. Keep them coming. There we go. Janet. Remember Phil Donahue? I'm Phil Donahue today.
This has been a bit of a strange year in many ways for me. I feel God has challenged me with the people he's put in my life, in particular my cousin Peter, who was probably the last person on earth I was looking for, and he was sort of the black sheep of the family, and yet through a non-Christian nephew of his, he was found, and he came into our lives. He decided on his own to move to Crofton, so he became a big part of our lives, and yet God is really working in this man who had a very dysfunctional childhood, really hasn't known family love, and yet God has enabled us to give him some love, and he's really, he's still a rough guy in some ways, but I can see God's love working in his heart, and he's been going to Wormland for the last number of months and making friends outside our family. So to me, that is just amazing. The other thing that's really strange to me too is that I have connections now with family in Sweden that I never knew about. It's fulfilled a desire of my heart to know more about some of my past, but it's also created friendships. And I'm just praying and trusting that God will move in these people I've met in Sweden so they come to know him too. So.
Thank you.
With all due respect, I'm kind of nervous. I'm just so grateful because for most of my life, it was very toxic, destructive, very sinful, a lot of terrible things done on my part and some whatever, you get the picture. And I had absolutely no hope or faith in anything at all. Family, I wasn't with my family. Faith wasn't even something I thought about. I was completely hopeless. And so I believe that God was never with me, but eventually he was with me all along, because my dad was actually telling Edgar the story this morning. Like, due to my own fault, I was, like, the doctor was going to say that, you know, I was on life, like, that's it. And I made a little sound, and it was just a miracle that I'm even alive. And so that, you know, and since then, I've just over the couple years become closer to Christ and God, and just the difference in having hope and reunited with my family. And I have a daughter, and I just, my reliance on God, I can't even put into words how my life would, it wouldn't function. I wouldn't function. I'm babbling. I don't know how to say it, but, and most of you know the story already, but, I can't. So my prayer for the future is just to grow closer to the Lord, and with humility and gratitude, and just enjoy what this joy of life that I now finally have. So, take
this. Right on. Thanks, Melissa.
Well, those of you who are in this family of faith know that we've been taking care of our granddaughter since she was born. She turned 10 a couple of weeks ago, so we've had her for 10 years. And for the last probably 3 or 4 years, we've been pretty strongly involved in terms of having family devotions with her after supper. And we got a hold of the Focus on the Family books, the devotional books, which I recommend to anybody who has kids. And so we've been working through those after supper. And we're now going back over them. It's the second time. So we were on this book, and we're getting towards the end. I guess it was really the last one in the book, and it really directed her thoughts and our thoughts back to what it means to be a Christian, And so we, at the end of the devotion, it asks if that person or anybody wants to become a Christian. And so I said to Sierra, I said, Sierra, would you like to be a Christian? And she said, yes. And I said, well, here's a prayer that you can pray that can help you to kind of determine that you are a Christian. And so she prayed that prayer out loud. And we said, well, you're now a Christian. And she's, you know, she understood that. She knew that she had become a Christian because she had vocalized what it means to accept Jesus Christ as her Savior. And so that was great. We rejoiced in that. And then at bedtime, Louise said to her, you know, that was the most important thing you can ever do, to decide to become a Christian. And she said, well, yes, but you know, now I have to have the courage to get dunked. So that's kind of our prayer for this year coming, that she'll have the courage to get dunked. And
get dunked.
My name is Tom, and I would really like to thank the Lord this morning for a joy that He has given me in my heart that is unsurpassed in any other time in my life. It's something that I find almost uncontainable in me at times, and I've never experienced that before. And often I feel like, you know, when Christ was coming into Bethlehem they were getting after Him, both the crowds, and He said, you know what? He said, let them call out. He said, if they weren't, the rocks would cry out. And my wife tells me that I have a head like a rock most of the time. And I feel like a rock that I have to, I have more courage, and I feel like telling people that I come in contact with more and more all the time about what Christ has done in my life and how He's taken a wretched man and turned that man around to being where I'm at today. And I cannot thank Him enough for giving me that joy in my heart, and His faithfulness is just unsurpassed. You just cannot beat it. Thank you.
Merry Christmas and good morning. My name is Brian Cadron, and I'd like to give thanks to the Lord our God for repairing marriages, some closer than others, and give Him all the praise, because at first it didn't look like this could be done, and with His help, it's working. So, thank God. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Two things. One is I'm very thankful that my wife is recovering slowly but surely from a stroke about a year ago, and that's a great joy. The second thing is that I'm very thankful for this church family. You're incredible. And this is a place where the gospel is preached, where we stick with the Bible, what God says. And over the years, I've seen this place grow into a family. And thanks for the pastor and his family that God is using in that respect. The other thing is, I'm praying and hoping that we're only partway there, that we'll continue to grow in unity in the Holy Spirit, that we'll all be of the same mind when it comes to the Lord and His Word and our relationships with one another. So I'm thankful for God for this place. It's if you miss a Sunday here, piece of your life isn't there. So yeah, I'm very thankful for all of this, and praise God.
Excellent. Thank you.
Hi. Dick and I have been Christians for many, many years. And when we first came to this church, Edgar had what we called the Edgar Huddle, where at the end of the service, he'd put you in little groups, and we went, well, I don't think we can do this, right? But we did, because we were quite conservative, and it turned out to be a blessing. We found out a lot about people and what they thought of the service, and just in short, being a Christian for so many years, this church, through Edgar here, has touched us in so many ways. I feel like you often. After church, it's like, I get it. I mean, I had it, but I get it. And it is exciting, and we just grow and grow. And we, too, are thankful. There's not many churches where you can stand up like this and actually share with your church family. They're either too big or people don't care. We have something very precious, and we're thankful to be here.
That's great. Leroy.
So a praise item. God, no question, binds us all together. In the case of Joyce and I, 57 years today.
That's awesome. Right on. Praise God. Mima.
Thank you. Well, I can honestly say I'm very thankful for this church and for the people. But what really I enjoy so much is we've got so many children here in this beautiful little church, from babies up to Sunday school age. When you see them all going downstairs, many churches that you're in, you'll only see a little handful. But there's such a lot of children in this church that God is just going to raise them up. So when we are gone, there'll be another generation. And I'm truly thankful for that. I'm even thankful for this little baby in the corner. She's just a happy little baby, and she's got her way of talking. Thank you.
I had an incident happen to me. It's a little better than a year ago now. I got up from my recliner after having a nap. I put my hand on the footstool as I stood up, and the footstool slipped out from under me, and I wondered what was going on, and the next thing I woke up in the Duncan Hospital, I had had a slight stroke. And it didn't leave me incapacitated, and I'm very thankful for that. And later on, I reflected on this stroke, and I wrote a poem about it. I call it A Stroke of Reality. Life is good. Life's just a song. Not a problem. Bring it on. When, whoops, what's this? I've never felt like this before. And how, why am I here on the floor? And then occurs to me the line, to everything there is a time. But hey, so soon, it's only noon. Why should this time come now so soon? And then I hear the Savior say, you ever only have today. Make sure to know me, ever sure. In good or ill, you'll be secure. I know before the way you take, and know I, for you, the difference make, for all I've conquered for your sake. We make our plans, but life and breath are in His hands, and soon all who embrace amazing grace will rise, arrive in heaven place. And in that space, joys will erase the struggles here on earth we faced. Thinking back on an incident that happened in my life.
Thanks, George. Any others?
I'm Donna Lee. I just want to thank the Lord. John and I spend a lot of time with unsafe people in our relationships with different groups that we're involved with. And most of our Christmas was spent with unsafe people this year. And I was talking to the Lord about it last night and just asking him, you know, like, we want to see them come to Jesus. That's what we're here for, right? And so he actually presented an opportunity for us to share a bit last night with one of them, by email, actually. And so my prayer is that this coming year that we will see at least one of our unsafe friends come to Jesus Christ, and preferably the whole family. Thank you, Lord.
Great. Any others? Joyce.
Merry Christmas. I was wondering if I should get up or what, and hope this doesn't sound like I'm bragging or anything, but I had a scare with cancer, and I'm still not sure what's happening because they haven't diagnosed it yet. But anyway, through all this time, God has been with me, and he's just been wonderful that there's nothing to worry about. At this point in my, if it had happened earlier, I probably wouldn't be worried, really scared. But at this age, it's fine. It doesn't matter. I know that if it is cancer and it gets worse, then I know where I'm going. I'll be with Jesus. And if it isn't, then I have more life to live.
That's awesome. That blows me away. Someone that we know actually saying that. We hear of stories of people saying that, but we know Joyce, and she said that, and she means that. And that's quite incredible to hear. Any others? We're taking time. Might only happen again in a year, so.
Now Kimball from Salt Spring Island. Many of you prayed for me to sell my property, And the Lord answered the prayer, and it is sold, and it'll free me up to follow him more and do more of his work instead of having the burden of that. Thank you very much.
Stop.
Ever since I was a child, I knew that God loved me, and I've always loved him and relied on him. But this past week, something incredible happened, and to me, it's like a Christmas miracle. I was to spend Christmas in Whistler with my son, and Sunday before, I went to Vancouver to visit with my son from Fort St. John. And I wasn't in Vancouver half an hour before I realized I was really sick. And I had to come home. So Rob put me on the ferry. And I came home. And I don't remember driving my car. I don't remember any of the places. A couple times I kind of looked around and thought, I know I'm going south, but I don't know where I am. But I'll just keep going south. One time I drifted into the other lane and some people behind me honked. And anyways, I eventually made it home to find out that I had a really high fever, and I was in bed then until I started feeling better on Christmas Day. But the time that I had where I did nothing but sleep and just stay in bed, it gave me lots of time to reflect on how much God loves me and how got me home. I looked down one time and I was doing 150 clicks. And I mean, I don't drive like that. And I was just so blessed and so thankful that he loves me enough to get me home safely and to be with me through that week. And I'm just so blessed. And I really love this church family.
All right. Well, we're going to close with a response song, but let me pray as our team comes up. And remember these stories. Let them boost your faith in the Lord, that He answers prayer, and that there's many of us walking with lots of faith in Him for a series of things. And so we're in this together. We're in this together. We're walking in this together. So let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks for so many answered prayers, so much evidence of your hand at work in the lives of your children. And Lord, so often we kind of forget that. We go from one request to the next request, and we don't hit pause and go, wow, thank you. And Lord, this morning we're going, wow, thank you. Thank you so much. A lot of us didn't share things that came to our mind, and for all of those things, we give you thanks for it. Thank you for your involvement and your care for us. And Lord, this coming year, increase our faith in you for the things that are coming up. Lord, many of us will go through some tough stuff this year, and others, it might be a pretty easy year. But Lord, for all of us, increase our faith so that we are quick to put our faith in you and quick to give you thanks for comforts. So Father, in this year, most of all, may you be glorified, and may we be sanctified more, that we be more Christ-like and quick to give you credit, quick to give you our worship, our lives. So we ask these things and give thanks to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Of love with depths of peace when fears are still.